RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Am I on? Okay, good morning, race fans. I'm sorry, the little red light that says my microphone is on did not come on, so I wasn't sure if my microphone was working, so we're off to a great start. Good morning, race fans. Welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always, and well, false start there. We'll put out the yellow flag and we'll restart the field here off of turn four. Happy Father's Day. Great show lined up for you this morning on this Father's Day Sunday. We do this every year and would love to hear some more of these stories, but if you have a story about your dad in racing or how maybe your dad made you a fan of racing or however he affected your life when it comes to motorsports, love to hear about it this morning here on the program. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Coming up on today's show, Cup Series obviously off this weekend, taking a break before they begin the long stretch towards the end of the regular season, starting next weekend in Sonoma and then off to Daytona 4th of July weekend, but the Cup Series off this weekend. However, the Trucks and Xfinity Series are in action this weekend at the Iowa Speedway. The Trucks ran last night, the Xfinity Series in action today. So coming up in about 11 minutes or so, we'll head out to Iowa and talk to Jim Utter from Motorsport.com, who is covering all the events down there. We'll talk to Jim about all three major national series for NASCAR. At the bottom of the hour, coming up in a couple of weeks, the Salem 6 Hours at the Glen for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Series. And one of the drivers that will be in action in 2 weeks at the Glen, the freshly repaved Watkins Glen International, Tom Long, who drives the Mazda Racing prototype in the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get Tom's insight. Tom has actually already run a race on the newly repaved Watkins Glen International, so we'll get his thoughts on how things are going. How things were at the Glen for him in his first start, although I think the weather will be a 180 degree change from when it was when he ran it earlier this year to probably 2 weeks when they're racing at the Glen 4th of July weekend. He raced back there in that really cold weekend in May. Remember, it snowed like on a Sunday in May a couple of months ago. That's when he raced at Watkins Glen. So when he goes back there 4th of July weekend, I have a feeling conditions will be quite different. So, but we'll get Tom's thoughts on that and his season in general so far with the Mazda Racing Team in the IMSA Sports Car Championship. We'll get his thoughts, too, on the 24 Hours of Le Mans as that wrapped up this morning. And Well, I hope you caught the end of it because it was a crazy finish at Le Mans this morning. The race had been utterly dominated by the Toyota teams in the main overall category. Toyota had just dominated the event. And with about 2 minutes to go in the race, two laps to go, to the like 23 hours, 57 minutes they had raced, the Toyota car that had led the event for most of the day broke on the next to last lap, and the Porsches were able to drive by and steal the win. So utter heartbreak for the Toyota team at Le Mans, and Porsche got the overall victory. So I'm sure we'll get Tom's thoughts about that as an experienced road racer as well, too, at the bottom of the hour. But again, phone lines open here this first segment, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. You can also find us on Twitter, too, at FastTrack550, and also Facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. As I said, of course, it's Father's Day, so if you have any stories about you and your dad going to the races, or maybe your dad works with you on cars or however he has maybe got you involved in the sport. Love to hear about it. This is a big Father's Day for me. I talk about it a lot, and I try not to, because I think I don't want to talk about my personal life so much here on the program, but this is my first Father's Day having my daughter home. A year ago, we celebrated Father's Day, but my daughter was still in the NICU at Sisters Hospital. So I was a dad on paper, but I didn't get the full dad experience at the time, because, you know, she was still in her little incubator, and all the great nurses and doctors at Sisters Hospital were watching her around the clock. So I didn't have to do a whole lot except, you know, come to the hospital and look at her and see how cute she was, despite being premature. But a year later, totally different. I have now been fully immersed in dad life, and it's been great. And as I like to say, the first 3 months of her life that she was in the NICU at Sisters were the longest 3 months of my life. And the 8 months since we've brought her home in late July last year have probably been the fastest 8 months in my life. But it's been really great. And she's doing very well. And just looking forward to future Father's Days down the road as she continues to grow up. So just wanted to say that. And happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, including my dad. And as I've told this story many a times, I think every Father's Day I probably tell this story on the program. We've been on the air for 8 years. But if it wasn't for my dad, I wouldn't be as involved in this sport as I think as I would be. I grew up watching racing on television and ESPN growing up as a kid. And I liked racing, but having my dad take me out to Lancaster Speedway growing up is what really got me involved in the sport. It allowed me to become an announcer at 14 years old, which led me to my part-time broadcasting career, I guess you could call it, that has led me to announce racing all over the region and do this radio show for 8 years. So I will be eternally grateful for that. He's the reason why I am involved in the world of motorsports as I am here locally, and such a big fan of it as well, too. So I hope you have a great story to share with about your dad and racing here. Again, feel free to bring it here at 803-0550, 888-550-2550. As the Cup Series, 15 races in here on an off weekend before they gear up, as I said, for the kind of the stretch run for the end of the regular season. 11 races left before the chase begins in September. It starts next weekend in Sonoma, and this is probably one of the most exciting portions, or maybe the most exciting portion of the schedule outside of the chase, I guess you could say. Obviously, the chase is exciting on its own, but just when you look at the variety of tracks that they're going to run on over the next 9, 10, 11 weeks, it's some of the most the variety of tracks, some of the most exciting tracks in the circuit. You've got Sonoma, which, of course, road course racing, we know, and NASCAR has gotten so crazy over the last 5-6 years, and how all these drivers have become so adept at driving on road courses, and how physical it's become out there racing on road courses. So that in itself will make for an exciting race next weekend. Then they go to Daytona, you know, the traditional 4th of July weekend race, the Coke Zero 400, restrictor plate racing, you know, take it or leave it. You know what kind of action that's going to bring. Then they go to Kentucky, where they'll have the reduced downforce package. Newly repaved Kentucky Speedway, so that's going to be kind of a wild card. Then it's New Hampshire and Indianapolis, which is a snoozer of a race, can be at least. Hopefully the lower downforce might help there. Then they go back to Pocono, and then it's Watkins Glen, another road course race, and then Bristol, another short track, the back-to-back exciting weeks there, and then Michigan, Darlington for the Southern 500, and then they wrap up the regular season at Richmond. So this is maybe one of the most funnest stretches of the Spring Cup Series schedule, I think, coming up these last 11 weeks of the regular season, because of the variety of tracks. And you toss in a couple of road course races, a restrictor plate race, some short tracks, and you got a couple mile and a half, so you got some 2 mile tracks. You got basically every type of racetrack that you're going to run in a Spring Cup Series season. Every type of surface is up for grabs here during these last few races of the regular season. So really, you need to be a well-rounded driver if you need to make the chase, and this is your chance to make up some of those points. You'll need to do it. Looking at the standings, of course, Joey Logano getting the win at Michigan last weekend, becoming the latest winner on the Spring Cup Series circuit. That gives us a total of 10 winners now here in 2016. Again, we talked about earlier in the year how we thought maybe that we wouldn't get as many winners this season with all the repeat winners we had early year, but now we're starting to pick up, adding a few names to that list in the last couple of weeks, and Martin Truex, Kurt Busch, and now Joey Logano finally getting his first win. But when you look at the standings, it's you got Harvick with a win. You got Busch, Keselowski, Edwards, Logano, Johnson, Truex, Kyle Busch, and Kenseth, and Denny Hamlin, all your winners so far this year. So they're going to be virtually locked in the chase. And then you look at those guys with no wins that are going to be fighting for the points. And it's Chase Elliott, the rookie, that's got the leg up on all those guys right now. Elliott is sixth in the standings and has got quite a buffer over everybody else that has yet to win a race this year. So he is sitting pretty so far. Obviously, a rookie driver, will see if he can keep it up throughout the rest of the regular season. He is going to be tested, obviously, during the stretch with all the different surfaces he's going to run on. It'll be first two couple cup starts on road courses, although he's had some success on some road courses in the truck series. He had a good run at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park once. So we'll see how good of a road course driver he is in the cup series. But he's got a little bit of a buffer over the rest of the guys that have yet to win this year. And then you look at names like Dale Earnhardt Jr., Austin Dillon, Jamie McMurray, Ryan Newman, Ryan Blaney. Those are the last five guys right now in on points if the chase were to start today. And then some familiar names. It seems like every year we talk about the same guys that are always on the outside looking in, like Casey Kane, A.J. Allmendinger, Trevor Bayne, Ricky Stenhouse, Kyle Larson, Paul Menard, Clint Boyer, Greg Biffle, all on the outside looking in right now. So these guys are either going to have to, you know, circle a date here on these remaining regular season schedule and pick one of those races to go all out to maybe get that win, or they're just going to have to be really, really consistent over the next 11 races to make their way into the chase for the Spring Cup Series, as we head towards Sonoma and Daytona and this stretch of racing action. Usually, though, by this time of the year, you don't see a lot of movement on the schedule. Usually, you know, it seems like once we get out of Charlotte Memorial Day weekend, the guys that are in chase contention traditionally wind up being the guys that make the chase come September. And that makes it obviously that much harder for those names that we listed that are in those 17th, 18th, and 19th places in the standings. So it's going to take like an A.J. Allmendinger a couple years ago, Watkins Glen, to just go out and steal a win and get in on the get in to the chase with a victory at a track like that. That is obviously, I'm sure, these two road course races coming up this summer obviously are going to be big for Allmendinger with his experience and his previous win at Watkins Glen. I'm sure that's what the JTG Doherty folks are going to be shooting for with those two races, to try and earn their way into the chase that way. But you've got, you know, someone like Kyle Larson that continues to come so close to victory and has just come up short, and all it takes is for him to get a win in maybe not on the road course, but obviously a wild card race like Daytona, or he's done really well. He's improving greatly on the mile and a half and 2 mile tracks, and you know, you could look at a Pocono or a Michigan for Larson to potentially get that first win. It'll be interesting to see, obviously. 803-0551, 888-552-550. The Xfinity Series in action today at Iowa, as it's an all Joe Gibbs front row. In fact, it's a Joe Gibbs top three sweep in qualifying, with Eric Jones and Daniel Suarez on the front row. Sam Hornish Jr. back in the Xfinity Series. He is filling in for an injured Matt Tiff today. He'll roll off third alongside Justin Allgaier. Row three, it'll be Elliott Sadler and Ben Kennedy making his debut in the Xfinity Series. If you're not familiar with Ben Kennedy, he is actually the grandson of Bill France Jr., the former leader of NASCAR. He is the nephew of Brian France and the great-grandson of Bill France Sr., the founder of NASCAR. He has been running in the Truck Series, but he makes his Xfinity Series debut today, driving for Richard Childress Racing. Brad Keselowski is the lone, what we used to call bushwhacker in the field, the cup guy that comes down in the Xfinity Series. Brad is the only one in the field today. No Kyle Busch, no Kevin Harvick, no Dale Earnhardt Jr. Trying to steal a win, but it will be Brad Keselowski out there driving the Penske 22 today. He starts seventh alongside Ty Dillon. You got Alex Bowman, who's trying to make the best of a bad situation after losing his cup ride just before the season began with Tommy Baldwin Racing. He's been running a couple of races for JR Motorsport, Junior Motorsport this year, and he'll be in the 88 car today, rolling off ninth. And then Brandon Jones, who's a rookie, driving for Richard Childress Racing. He'll round out the top 10 starters. And then you got the two Roush drivers, Ryan Reed, Darrell Wallace Jr. We had Ryan here on the show before, a former winner in the Xfinity Series, and Darrell Wallace. These guys trying to become the next generation of cup drivers for Roush Fenway Racing. I mean, you look at You know, Greg Biffle getting up there in age, and you see Ricky Stenhouse's struggles. Could a Cup seat open for these guys in the future, especially Darrell Wallace Jr.? He had all that success in the Truck Series, you know, won at Eldora a couple of years ago, and then, you know, left his deal with Kyle Busch Motorsports because they couldn't get a good sponsorship package for him to go full time. And he bailed on his deal with KBM and has wound up at Roush Fenway and hasn't had the success yet so far in the Xfinity Series, but is, you know, getting better and better as these weeks go by. This last couple of seasons, still looking for a first win in the series, though, but he'll roll off 12th today. Beyond that, that's pretty much the big notable names in the field. You really do have kind of that drop-off in talent in the Xfinity Series. You look at all the teams that we mentioned here right off the start. It's all the big name teams. It's the Joe Gibbses. It's the Junior Motorsports, which is basically Hendrick Motorsports. You know, Penske Racing, RCR. Those are obvious in Roush, the dominant teams. And then you get to some of the smaller independent teams. Mike, is Jim on the line or no? Okay, I'm just making sure my call screen was working correctly. So we're awaiting to hear from Jim Utter, who is out at the Iowa Speedway covering the Xfinity and Truck Series races this weekend. So phone lines open here as we wait for Jim at 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Of course, the one big change this year for the Xfinity and Truck Series is this is the first year that they also have their own chase. The NASCAR adding it this year, despite, you know, the Truck Series having some close points battles the last couple of years with the traditional points format, NASCAR decided to go this year with chase programs for both of those series, but they're a little bit different than the Cup Series. You know, in the Xfinity Series, it goes instead of 16, they take 12, and it is a 7-race chase. It doesn't begin until Kentucky, so they have a little bit longer regular season, as we like to call it, and then they have a 7-race chase. The field starts with 12, and then 8, and then the final 4 go for the series champion at Homestead, just like the Cup Series does. And some of those names we mentioned are right there in chase contention. Guys like Eric Jones and Daniel Suarez, Elliott Sadler, Ty Dillon, Justin Allgaier, Brandon Jones. Then he got some of the struggling teams also sneaking in there. A guy like a Blake Koch and a Ryan Sieg that run these smaller teams. They're slowly making their way into the chase contention, and that obviously will help them. Not only shows that they're improving as a driver, but it gets them a little bit extra attention too, and maybe helps them land a bigger sponsor to help some of the lesser funded teams out. I wouldn't call them underfunded, because they can still spend the money to come to the track and maybe not field a competitive engine program maybe, but they still buy all the necessary sets of tires and bring all the, you know, the necessary crew to the racetrack, but maybe they're just lacking a little bit of horsepower and technology compared to the bigger teams. But it obviously gets those drivers a little bit of attention, being able to qualify for the chase and, you know, maybe pulling an upset and moving on to the second round and maybe having a shot to go for the championship in Homestead, Miami. And the Truck Series also has their chase format this year, and it's a little bit smaller. When they had talked about creating the chase for the Truck Series, I was hoping that they would go with a smaller field, because the drop off in talent is even more greater in the Truck Series than it is in the Xfinity Series with the drop off in talent, and it's a much smaller chase field. They only take 8 drivers, and they have a 7-race chase as well, starting at New Hampshire in September. And right now the drivers in chase contention there are William Byron, Matt Crafton, John Hunter Nemechek, Johnny Sauter, Timothy Peters, Daniel Hemric, Tyler Reddick, and Ben Kennedy. And Byron is on fire right now in the Truck Series. William Byron's driving for KBM, Kyle Busch Motorsports. Here's a young guy that, you know, got his start playing iRacing, and that led to, you know, actually trying it for real in Legends cars and late models. And next thing you knew, he was in the KNNE series, and now he's driving for Kyle Busch Motorsports in the Truck Series. And he's already got 3 wins in his rookie season. He picked up the win last night, holding off Cole Custer to get the win last night, and now he's got back-to-back wins and 3 wins this season in the Truck Series. And it's just amazing that here's a young man that, you know, didn't start by driving go-karts or you know, driving street stocks or anything. He just was good at playing iRacing on the computer, and they're like, all right, let's try it for real. And apparently the practice driving simulators paid off, because it led to him, you know, quickly ascending the racing ranks and now he's in the Truck Series, and he is a championship contender. He's challenging a veteran in Matt Crafton for the championship this year. In the Truck Series, he only trails him now by 11 points after last night's race. So it's amazing what this young man, William Byron, has done this year with three wins now in just his rookie season here in the Truck Series. Again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Speaking of Matt Crafton, one of the bigger Truck Series teams in the sport, Thor Sport Racing, they field four Truck Series teams, including the one for Matt Crafton, who's the points leader. Riku Abreu, the former sprint car driver who is in his rookie year. Ben Rhodes and Cameron Haley, they run a four-truck operation. They're based out of Sandusky, Ohio, actually. And, you know, obviously not near the hub of Charlotte, North Carolina, where the majority of major NASCAR national teams are based. They're not down there in the Charlotte area, Mooresville, North Carina area. They're up in Sandusky, Ohio, or by Cedar Point, and their shop was ravaged by fire recently, and they took some heavy damage. Luckily, some of their race trucks and their haulers were spared from the damage, and from all indications from the team, they had a press conference this weekend at Iowa Speedway. They're still going to be all systems go. They're going to keep fielding all four trucks. It's not going to slow them down at all. Obviously, a lot of people have also reached out to help them too, but they obviously have a big mountain here to climb now with their race shop being torched just a couple of weeks ago up there in Sandusky, Ohio. But Thor Sport has been it's kind of the big independent team out there in the Truck Series, you know, kind of like a Furniture Row Racing in the Cup Series located out in Denver. This Thor Sport Racing up there in Sandusky, Ohio, you know, kind of the lone wolf out there. But they obviously have a great driver in Matt Crafton, who's, you know, that lone, just like Thor Sport, that lone veteran. Now the Truck Series used to be kind of the haven for those outlaw veteran drivers when he had, back in the day, the Hornadays and Sprague's and Skinner's going at it, and that was a ton of and Todd Bodine, and that was a lot of fun watching those guys. But just like the Xfinity Series, now the Truck Series has really become even a talent development series with young guys like William Byron and Tyler Reddick and Daniel Hemric, Riku Abreu, you know, these guys you know, coming up in the sport. And now the Truck Series has almost become a development series as well. But Matt Crafton's that lone veteran, you know, that continues to run in the Truck Series. He's always said that, you know, for all his success in the Truck Series, he did not want to move to the Cup Series in, you know, lesser equipment. He's driving top-notch equipment for the Truck Series, but when it comes to the Cup Series, he didn't want to go run for a lesser team and embarrass himself and, you know, land on his face trying to run in the Cup Series. Of course, he has one famous Cup Series, or I think it's at least one, but the Cup Series races he's run, it's only been in relief for Kyle Busch last year, driving for Joe Gibbs Racing. That is one of the few times he's run in the Cup Series, and he just refuses to move up if he's not going to be in top flight competition. And, you know, why not, you know, continue to run for championships and wins in a series like the Truck Series instead of, you know, running for 15th or 20th in the Cup Series and just be frustrated? It's a very interesting career for Matt Crafton, but obviously he'll go down as one of the all-time greats in the Truck Series. Well, we failed to connect with Jim Utter over in Iowa. Sorry about that. I thought I had Jim lined up, talked to him on Friday, but apparently, obviously, race mornings are very busy, and the cell signals, who knows, also aren't the greatest at racetracks on race day when you get all those people in there. So I apologize that we weren't able to connect with Jim. Wanted to get his thoughts on Xfinity and Truck Series and the Cups, but no such luck. So we're going to head to break here. When we come back, hopefully we can get a hold of Tom Long, who drives for Mazda in the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship Series, as he drives their prototype car. And it'll be a Watkins Glen in a couple of weeks for the Salem 6 Hours at the Glen. That'll be next here on Fast Track on WGR. 11:32 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track here on this Father's Day Sunday. Hot and steamy Father's Day weekend here in Western New York, but gorgeous. Love it. Got plenty of racing in this weekend and ready to enjoy a nice afternoon on the patio. Formula One in action already today at the Grand Prix of Europe, which took place in the country of Azerbaijan over, I believe that's in Eastern Europe. And Nico Rosberg back in victory lane. It's been a couple of races, but Rosberg dominating the field, winning by almost 17 seconds over Sebastian Vettel. And rounding out the podium, Sergio Perez, kind of an upset for the Force India team, rounding out the top three. Perez actually qualified second, but had to start seventh because the team made a gearbox change after qualifying, so he had to, it was You got a 5-position penalty on the starting grid because of it, but still bounced back to finish third. Kimi Räikkönen and Lewis Hamilton rounding out the top five in Azerbaijan. The Haas F1 team finishing 13th for Grosjean and 16th for Gutierrez. So they fell outside the points this weekend in Europe. And I forgot last weekend, with them being in Montreal, I forgot to do my terrible French, which I love whenever the F1 runs at Montreal, or when the Xfinity Series used to race up there, when I try to call it the Circuit Gilles Villeneuve in my terrible French. So I guess we could do some more terrible French, though, with the 24 Hours Le Mans this weekend. And with that, we're going to go to the AT&T hotline and bring in, from the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship Series, driver for the Mazda prototype team, Tom Long joins us on the line. Tom, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. Thanks for joining us. And actually, if you don't mind, love to start by talking to you about Le Mans. For a guy involved in road racing, if you're not in France, is it basically just camp out in front of the TV all weekend and watch what's going on at Le Mans?
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's exciting. You know, that's the pinnacle of sports car racing for the world. And, you know, it's amazing the drama that that race can produce. You know, just when you think the race is almost over and you have one lap left, as we saw today, things can happen. So, you know, just excited to see some of the Americans doing so well over there, and just heartbreaker for Toyota, it looked like. You know, I guess.
Yeah.
Mazda remains the only Asian auto manufacturer to have won that race. Actually, it's a 25th anniversary this year.
Yeah, obviously, heartbreak. Toyota just dominated it, and to break with minutes remaining in a 24-hour event, it's just unbelievable. It amazes me, Tom, whether it's Le Mans or Daytona, after 23 and a half hours of racing, and it comes down to seconds on the racetrack. That is one of the most remarkable things about sports car racing, is no matter how long you guys race, it can still come down to a matter of seconds.
It is incredible. And it's such a team-oriented sport. You know, with our Mazda racing program, you know, the drivers and sometimes get more credit than the rest of the team. You know, it's an absolute team sport. To keep a car running for 24 hours starts well before the event even begins. But those crews, just incredible amount of talent and resources to keep the cars going.
Well, let's talk about your year so far with the number 70 Mazda Motorsports prototype in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. How are things going for you so far this year? I know you got a couple of fourth place finishes under your belt, including one at Detroit. How are things going for you so far this season?
Yeah, this season has been going wonderful for our Mazda racing program. We had a lot of excitement due for this season with a new engine package. The MZO 2.0 T, which is our 2-liter engine that we're running in our Mazda prototype, and it's been a rocket. We've had just a bunch of new firsts for the program: best finishes, best results, besting our results from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really excited to be coming to Watkins Glen next. We had a 1-2 front row starting position for the Mazdas at Mazda Raceway recently. So, you know, the home track, it was great to be running up front and pacing most of that weekend. And we think Watkins Glen, with the brand new pavement, is just going to fall right into to the Mazdas favor.
Yeah.
coming up in a couple weeks.
You mentioned your new engine program, and I believe part of that has to do with a different fuel that you guys are running this year. I know we had the unification, of course, the Grand American and the Rolex series into the United IMSA Frontier, and you guys came in with the diesel-powered engines the last couple of years, but you've switched to just regular gasoline this year, and that's also helping you guys, I hear.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, our SkyActiv technology with the diesel program was an incredible engine development program that we were able to be a part of, and just a lot of fun to help you know, develop that and in kind of hand in hand with Japan on their diesel technology. And then now we move forward with a gas engine that it likes to stretch its legs down those long straightaways at Watkins Glen up through the S's. So we're excited to get there and get started.
Tom Long joining us here on the line from the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Well, as you mentioned, Watkins Glen next up on your race schedule. And I know you've already been out to the Glen this year to check out some of the repaving. I don't know if you got any on-track time, but you were coaching with the MX5 Cup Series there back in May. Of course, when you were there, it was, you know, rain and snow, which is, you know, a typical weekend here in upstate New York. But I think when you go to the Glen in a couple weeks, the weather's going to be a lot different.
Oh, yeah. Always looking forward to the July 4th weekend up there in Watkins Glen. It's just one of my favorite time of year to be up there and one of my favorite tracks around the country. So I think it's going to be wonderful for all the fans that get to camp out for the weekend. Doesn't get any better than that. 6 hours of racing on a Sunday afternoon and in upstate New York, it's can't beat it.
Obviously, with the new pavement, speeds are going to be up. I know some of the teams have already done some testing. Can you put a number on it for us? How much faster are you guys going to be going this year, say, compared to last year with the freshly laid down asphalt there at Watkins Glen?
Yeah, Watkins Glen has done an incredible job with the new pavement. It's not just pavement. The curbing is all different.
Uh-huh.
They've done just an amazing job how smooth the surface is. Several seconds. Different because a lot of the patchwork and things that, you know, with the old pavement and the curb really didn't allow us to optimize the package for our Mazdas. And the way that works is basically, you know, these cars work off of downforce, off of the aerodynamic grip that the car can create, the higher the speed. And so by doing so, the lower you can run the car, the more grip you create.
Right.
That's the aerodynamic advantage. So the bumpier the circuit, the higher we have to raise the car to allow for the suspension to move around. So now that it's smooth, we're going to run the car really low and shooting for the top step of that podium.
Just lay it down and go flat out. What's your favorite part of the Glen Road course? Is it the S's, the bus stop, the boot? What's your favorite part of the Glen?
Oh, man, there's so many great complexes to that circuit. The boot is absolutely, though, my favorite. There's a lot of challenges on the track, but when you're talking about the elevation, you know, going from the bus stop around the outer loop, turn five, as we call it, down into the boot, I mean, the elevation change all the way down to what they call the toe, seven, and then you have this incredible climb. It's about the steepest uphill that we'll go all year and make that climb all the way up the toe, coming down to the heel. It's just such an exhilarating feeling to be climbing that many stories of elevation in that Mazda prototype. It pulls that hill really quickly.
Tom Long, we'll wrap up here with a final question, Tom. And I want to ask you actually about a race that you run back Memorial Day weekend at Lime Rock Park over in Connecticut. You ran a Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge race. Tell us about your special co-driver for that event you ran back in May.
Yeah, that was an incredible weekend. Liam Dwyer, who's a staff sergeant of the Marines, now retired, he is an inspiration, just a true American hero. He lost a lot of function in his body after stepping on a IED bomb in Afghanistan, losing his left leg above the knee.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been able to overcome that and is now racing professionally for Mazda. And we were teammates co-driving in the 2.5-hour event. And on Memorial Day weekend, which was actually 3 years within a couple of days of when he was in Afghanistan, we were able to pull off the win. And it was extremely emotional. Just a really, really big day. Kind of a storybook ending to the day that couldn't have scripted.
Yeah, that's very cool. Do you know how he got involved in motorsports once he was finished with the military?
So he had always been involved in motorsports from an interest standpoint as a fan, but never was he a driver.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the interest in driving, so he would do what they would call track events with his normal, you know, street car. And then after he was through many surgeries to get him to the point where he could start to drive again, he really took this passion for driving, and it's what he says makes him feel like he has no no limits, no disabilities, nothing.
Yeah.
And so so when we met at Daytona for during the Rolex 24 Hour a couple of years ago, he was still in a wheelchair, and his progress had gotten him where now he's got a prosthetic leg and he can walk, and he's able to function in the car using a couple special pieces with attaching his leg to the clutch pedal with a quick release, and basically he was able to develop his driving skill and get the opportunities. Freedom Autosport is the Mazda MX-5 team in the Continental Tire Series that that gave him the opportunity to test, and he was quick right off the bat, and we only got faster, and like we said, we were able to pull off that win.
That is fantastic. Thank you for sharing that story with us. And Tom, thank you for the time, giving us your insight. We'll look forward to the Salem 6 Hours of the Glen coming up the weekend of June 30th through July 3rd at Watkins Glen International. You can get tickets at theglen.com. Tom, best of luck at the Glen and the rest of the 2016 season for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, looking forward to seeing everybody out there at Watkins Glen for the upcoming event. We'll be working hard.
All right, very good. Tom Long, again, from the Mazda prototype team on the IMSA Sports Car Championship. You can follow him on Twitter, too, at Tom Long Racing. And how cool is that? Getting to drive race with a veteran that lost his leg in combat and overcoming that to race again. They, you know, as he said, they attach the prosthetic leg to the clutch pedal so you can operate that. Because it's, you know, it's not like driving your street car where you're just using the right foot. It with road racing, it's 2 foot, you know, clutch, gas, and the brake. Obviously, so that's a neat story. I'm glad Tom could share that with us. By the way, we're gonna have more Salem 6 Hours coverage here in the program coming up next week. We'll welcome Christian Fittipaldi back to the show. Christian's tied for the series points lead in the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. We had Christian on the show, I think it was a couple of years ago. He is the nephew of course, Emerson Fittipaldi. So we'll talk to Christian next Sunday as we ramp up for the Salem 6 Hours in a couple of weeks. All right, when we get back, we'll hit our traditional local racing roundup, let you know who won at all the local tracks in Western New York and Southern Ontario. And we still have time for your phone calls, too, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. When we get back to wrap up Fast Track here on WGR. Hey, race fans, it's Dave Buchanan from my friends at Batavia Downs Gaming. Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination, and it just looks fantastic. They've renovated the main entrance and the gaming floor there at Batavia Downs. It is so inviting and just great to be there. Tons of fun going to Batavia Downs. They've got all the great games, including all your favorite movie and TV-themed games there at Batavia Downs, including Family Guy, Titanic, The Hangover, Sex and the City, Michael Jackson, Wheel of Fortune. They've got them all there at Batavia Downs Gaming. And while you're there, you can check out 34 Rush, which is Thurman Thomas's sports bar at Batavia Downs Gaming. Check out all of Thurman's memorabilia on display, including his Hall of Fame jacket and his jersey from when he played here in Buffalo. Grab yourself a bite to eat or maybe a delicious adult beverage, and check out all the sports they have on all the HD TVs, you know, baseball, racing, horse racing, golf, all the major sports. They show them there at 34 Rush inside Batavia Downs, and they even have that big 15-foot projection screen on the weekends that, you know, we were watching the Martinsville race when we were there a couple of months ago. Also, they've got Fortune's Italian Restaurant that is inside Batavia Downs, too. Delicious pasta and pizza dishes that they have there, too. Batavia Downs Gaming is open daily 8 a.m. till 4 a.m. off 3 exit 48 right in Batavia. And for more information, be sure to follow Batavia Downs Gaming on Facebook and Twitter for up-to-date info on all promotions, and discover why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination, and tell them you heard about them right here on Fast Track. All right, I'll get them out of the way first so I don't forget, because I always have the last couple of weeks. Freedom Motorsports Park on Friday, Damian Bidwell got the win in the Rush Late Models, Brad Rouse in the Sportsman, Levi Watson in the Street Stocks, and Deanna Shepherd in the Mini Stocks. The Big R on Friday night, it was a Wills family night at the Ransomville Speedway because it was Kenny Wills getting in the win in the 350 Modifieds, and his uncle Kevin Wills got the win in the Sportsman. It was by 0.008 seconds, 0.008 of a second over Greg Martin. If you want to see how close that looks, you can check out my Twitter feed at FastTrack550. I've got a screenshot from the video from that if you want to see just how close that feature finish was. Pat Dell got the win in the Street Stocks. Chad Lederhouse in the Four Bangers, and AJ Custody in the Novice Sportsman. Lancaster National Dragway on Friday night, Jamie Stoneman in top eight got the win. Jason Subchitsky in top ET. Dale Eckert in mod ET. Brian Babiak in sleds and bikes. And Mason Fix got the win in street ET. Saturday night at Lancaster, it was the Sportsman SummerSlam 75, and Patrick Emmerling got his fourth Sportsman win in a row at Lancaster as he held off Billy Byrd to get the victory there. Terry Weldy got the win in the Street Stocks. Kevin Bainbridge in the Four Cylinders, and AJ Hessler held off Dave Wallaber and Bobby Holmes to get the victory in the TQ Midgets Saturday at Lancaster. Merrittville Speedway, Mike Sedusik getting the win in the Four Cylinders. Rob Murray in the Hoosier Stocks. Paul Klager in the Mod Lights. Also, it was in the Sportsman, it was Rob Knapp getting the win over Cody McPherson. And in the Modifieds, Tommy Flanagan held off Eric Rudolph and Mike Bowman to get the victory in the Modifieds at Merrittville on Saturday night. State Line Speedway last night, it was Doug Eck in the Super Late Models, Daryl Broussard in the Crate Late Models, Vic Vina in the Outlaw E-Mods, Justin Carlson in the Pro Mods, Dave Shagla Jr. in the Street Stocks, Ted Kaczynski in the Super Sportsman, and Andy Proper in the Super Challenger. Seven divisions of racing. That's about three more divisions than my liking, but good for them at State Line. Holland Speedway last night, the twin features for the Pro Chargers, Tim Welshens and Zach Myers were credited with the win. Bob Bogner in the Hornets, Brandon DeBracolier in the Legends, James Steins in the Figure Eights, and Daryl Phillips in the Rookie Fours. And then Genesee Speedway, it was Brad Messler in the Crate Late Models, Greg Majewka getting his second win of the year in the Sportsman, Dave DuBois in the 360 Late Models, Butch Zimmerman in the Street Stocks, Brett Shepard in the Mini Stocks, and Eddie Kowalczyk getting the win in the Bandits at Genesee Speedway over in Batavia. Did not get the feature winners from Wyoming County last night. It's the SST Super Secret results. And tonight, if you're looking to take Dad to the races, you can go over to the Humberstone Speedway in Port Colborne. They've got their traditional five-division racing program, plus autograph nights, so you can meet the stars that drive the cars at Humberstone. Last week, there at Humberstone, Jay Mallory got the win in the Sportsman, and Colton Lettingham picked up the late model win last weekend at Humberstone Speedway. So congrats to Colt, following in the footsteps of Rob Lettingham there in the late models at the Humberstone Speedway. That'll do it for us. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Apologize for not having the guest there in the first segment with Jim Utter. We'll try better next week. We will have Christian Fittipaldi on the program, and we'll have some NASCAR talk, too, of course, with the series heading to Sonoma, California. That'll do it. ESPN Radio is up next. We'll have the NBA Finals here on the station tonight, so stay tuned to that. It's going to be a busy week here on WGR because the NHL draft is next weekend right here in Buffalo. I'm sure there's going to be hockey news flying around here left and right, so stay tuned. You don't want to miss any of it here on the station. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Have a great one. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.